was privileged to lead quite a few trips through the years, different places, and Mr. Glaspie's sister joined us on a trip or two, and she was just humorous all the time, lots of funny things. But we were in a market. Again, I don't know every country, but the closer you get to the airport, the more skilled the people are of separating you from your money. And it's just, it's hysterical to me. We were, this was in Cuba. We were in Cuba, and the stuff was made in Taiwan. I wasn't exactly sure how that happened. But anyway, and it's just knickknacks and stuff like that. And his dear sister just insisted to get a drawing, just a kind of a thing, a piece of sketchwork. And I said, and there were signs everywhere, I said, if you do that, they're going to nail you for exporting art, and you're gonna have to pay. And for some reason, she got in her head I was being silly with her. And so we're going through, and it's getting through all the security, and they do. They get her, they detain her, and they pull her off. And at the time, his sister spoke exactly no Spanish. She might have been able to say gracias. And so she's talking to the agent going, gracias, gracias. And she might have learned la comida or, you know, food. But anyway, so she's saying thank you. And about that time, we can't find her. She's been detained. And all of a sudden, I hear in broken English over the speaker, Hodgney Rollerman. And I went, there can't be that many Hodgney Rollermans. And come to whatever they call it, the detaining area. So I walk over, and she's going, gracias, gracias. And anyway, sure enough, they'd hit her up, and the guy was doing, and I said, well, pay the man. She said, I don't have any money. I said, I hope you enjoy your stay. And she says, get me out of this, Mr. Holloman. And I paid the money, and she kept on. I said, go get me a soda or something. She said, get it yourself. I said, I own you now. I just bought you out of jail, and you belong to me. And I milked that pretty good till we got through the Miami airport. But anyway, so it was a funny thing. If you think that's bad, can you imagine? You imagine they already got your name in Kenya and they're looking for you. So when they said that, I kind of, oh my, oh what a thing, what a thought. And so we're glad they're going to pass through here soon, and we're hopefully, if it works out, maybe we'll get to see them one more time before they depart and move along. We are on the slow boat through the book of Philippians, and on purpose, because God's teaching us some remarkable things. And I hope you're enjoying this. We have these arranged in playlists, whether they're on YouTube or Facebook, and you can go back to the originals. My notes pretty much are in there. You can follow along, click on those things. And so we want you to have these, And we're continuing to talk about Philippians 4 this morning, and we're looking specifically at one verse. We're going to read 3. We're going to focus in on one verse. Stand with us if you're willing and able. Philippians 4. If you have a smartphone or a tablet, man, I suggest you grab our app, HardinValleyChurch.com/app, APP. It's free, iOS or Android. Click on the notes there. Once you download the app, and you can see, you can see and follow along. Maintaining joy in a sinful world. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So read it one more time. Read it in your head as I read it out loud. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Verse 8, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I want to encourage you this morning in these little sets of things, these three prime directives that we have here. We'll look at the first one today. That this may be as practical as something as you'll hear in any recent time. And it's going to be part of this three-legged stool of standing in the Christian life, in the daily Christian life, that I think can just revolutionize some things for you. And I want to offer to you this morning, how do you maintain joy in a sinful world? How do you maintain joy in a sinful world. Would you pray with me one more time? Father God, help us this morning. Speak to our hearts. Father, help me to preach your word with power and authority. I pray that you would work in our lives and help us. God, we need you this morning. Father, I pray you keep me from distraction. Help me to think about what I need to focus on, what's important. And God, I pray even now that you would work. Father, these verses cut all of us at different points of life. We joked about season of pollen, but Lord, those things are temporary and they're just aggravations. But grief or sorrow or uncertainty. Or how in the world do we follow this verse? How in the world do we rejoice always? How do we do that? So would you teach us this morning, Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray. And may I preach on the outside while you on the inside. We love you. We thank you. We ask it in your Son's precious name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Maintaining joy in a sinful world. I got that. And we've got the recording running. And all young folks, juniors and middle school, if you haven't, you can already move along. And we did move the treasure chest to the cafeteria. If you're looking for it, got everything spick and span in there. So I need a little bit of help this morning. I need to play a little bit of song trivia. How many of you are up for a little bit of song trivia? Now, it's wicked song trivia, so you're admitting you're a heathen if you know some of these. How many of you don't need any help admitting you used to be a heathen? Anybody? It makes Joy's like, I'm not playing, but I bet she knows every one. And so help me out here. I'm going to start it. You finish it off. It's my party and... cry if I want to. Heathen, 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 heathen. How many of you knew that one? How many of you at least heard that one? How many of you at least acknowledge you heard that one? How many of you heard somebody else say that one, all right? Heard it, yeah. All right, all you spiritual people, you just cross your arms and frown at us for a second, all right? It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. Second one. This is a little more modern. Don't worry, but be happy. There we go. All right. Some of you are getting excited now. This is the most I've ever participated in church. I hadn't learned a verse since last year. And so we're good. All right. Don't worry. And be happy. Here's one from some of you that are a little older. If I say the word feelings, what do you do next? Yeah. You got to do the whoa, whoa, whoa. That's what we were trying to do this morning. And then nothing more than feelings. All right. All right, only a few of you remember the 70s, and the rest of you can Google that, and it's a earworm song. Actually, everyone I've picked so far has. I am walking on what? Some of you, several things, but I'm walking on sunshine. My heathen wife on the second row is losing her mind right now. So, walking on a sunshine, and just one more, and this will hit maybe a little bit of the older generation, But rainy days and Sundays, what happens? They always get me down. Boy, I got it in stereo over here. That was awesome. As ever, if you got that one. And all of you that are under 20 going, bunch of geezers. The newer music that I looked at that had anything to do with feelings, I wouldn't say out loud. So, because it's kind of revolting. And those kind of things. Say, well, you didn't mention any country songs. Well, you know, it's that old joke, you know, if you play a country song backwards, you get your wife back, your dog back, and your truck back. And I didn't want to depress everybody by using some country western references. But it is funny, even in America, how much of our stuff has to do with feelings and emotions. We are emotional people. You get into Latin music, and it's entirely lots and lots of that type of music. You look at any Bollywood kind of style of things from India, and there's two things. One, somebody's gaining love or losing love, and there's going to be some activity typically around a tree. I don't know what the deal is with trees and those kind of things, but there's some movement, some motion, and they'll find their way somewhere. That's the old joke about how you know a good Bollywood movie is going to be received. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? When I said the word rejoice in the Lord, always, and again I said rejoice, some of you went, beg pardon? Feel, experience the emotion of joy. How am I supposed to do that? I can't control how I feel most days. I feel pretty lousy. Truth of the matter is, I feel one way before I find coffee. And then I feel differently when the coffee leaves me, and or the food leaves me, or the work. What are you talking about? I figured out early on in our relationship that the quickest way to a fight was to try and tell my spouse how she ought to feel. You shouldn't feel bad about that. And anybody else in here gotten in that habit of trying to tell other people how to feel? I've tried to help my son. He's saying, Dad, they shouldn't feel that way. I said, you can think that all you want, but don't ever say it out loud. I'll be picking you up at the hospital in the ER. You can't do that. You feel how you feel, but you can change some other things. Is that really what he's saying here? Experience the emotion of all the time. Because if it is, we're kind of stuck, aren't we? Am I the only one who's stuck? Again, you can be the plastic person. Y'all have seen them, right? How are you doing? Wonderful. And, you know, they got a bloody stump where, you know, they were in a car accident. I feel great. You liar. I'm scared of plastic people. I'm scared of all the way grinning people. And that's not what he's talking about here. Can't be what he's referring to here. He's talking and describing to us to have joy. And so what are we doing here? What are we doing? Just for a second here, let me walk you through it. Go back to chapter 1. You still with me this morning? I want to ramp up here and find out where we are. Chapter 1, look at verse number 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. 16 different times in this little letter, 4 chapters, he's going to reference joy or rejoice or rejoicing. It is more than an incidental filler word. He is saying this is to be a part of it. In the life of the believer, in the life of the church, you ought to be tattooed and bespeckled with joy. Now again, that's got my attention. Because I'm generally happy if things are going right, and happy if everything's on time, and happy if I didn't make a mess of something, and happy if no one recently is mad or upset with me. But the joy, and to always think of people with joy, man, that is a tall order. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, you are our crown and rejoicing. Chapter 1, verse 18, he says, notwithstanding. Well, then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, chapter 1, verse 18, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. It doesn't matter what happens to me. It matters that the gospel goes out. Boy, that is a transformative way of thinking, especially if it's all about you or if it's all about me. What matters is the gospel. What matters, he says, is that Epaphroditus comes back. Chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Chapter 2. In verse number 2, the Bible says, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. It is a joyful thing for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Say, man, how does the church dwell together in unity? One, we focus on the gospel like Paul tells us to here. Two, we learn to forgive each other. We learn to work things out. And we're not going to major on the minors. And when we can't agree on what's a major or minor, we're still going to go back to loving Jesus and loving each other and trying to follow the book and giving a little bit of space for others to come along and to grow alongside. Man, that sounds like a good church to me and a good church to be a part of. And so when we're looking at this, he says joy, 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 joy. He praises the Lord for their progress in joy. He says their furtherance. Chapter 1, verse 25, furtherance of joy and faith. You know what ought to make us excited? What makes us excited is a person you sit near in service, you hear them saying a verse they couldn't say 2 weeks ago. That's a little bit of progress in their faith, amen? You know what ought to excite us? We finished out 2020, and all of a sudden we figured out, man, we gave over $12,000 to missions and outside causes last year, something we hadn't done in at least 10 years. And we said in the middle of COVID and catastrophe and confusion, we're going to make sure that the gospel gets to the ends of the earth. That ought to give you some cause to rejoice and to have joy. It ought to give you some joy when we see our groups attended well and people studying the scripture and inviting others to growing in the faith. You go from not being faithful to being faithful. Some of you, man, you hit the end of January and say, man, I've read my Bible for 30, 31 days, and what a joy that God's doing in my life. He says, I rejoice in that. So this is not just an incidental, and this cannot be just talking about an emotion. Years ago, somebody taught me, reminded me, that emotions are tricky because emotions will fail us. You ever, somebody give you really bad news and you giggled? Anybody in here had that weird reaction? Man, my dog just died. That's not the right response, is it? You know, but you got nervous, you got uncomfortable when you done that. Anybody, you've been given an opportunity to comfort someone and you made it worse? Anybody? Anybody besides me? Our emotions are fail us. Our emotions are fickle. Emotions are fickle. If there's anything we heard around our house when the children were smaller was, you ate this last week and said it was your favorite. What's wrong with you now? I just don't like it anymore. Well, like it or lump it, it's what we're having for supper, so go ahead and go on the hunger strike. We'll go ahead and get Mahatma Gandhi dialed up on the phone here. And our emotions are fickle. Is there anything as inconstant as a middle school or junior high young person? How you doing? Fine. 5 minutes later, how you doing? And you don't know. None of you remember those days? Our emotions are fickle. They're fallible. They're fallible. We can't trust them. So we can't be talking about an emotion. We're talking about a straight-up command. And he qualifies it there. We'll look at that in a second. So what does it mean? Now, I just want to pause here for a second. I want to draw you back in. I made a big display on purpose. Look, just for a second. Are you carrying out this command? Am I carrying out this command? If chapter 3, verse 1, I'm supposed to rejoice in the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 4, I'm to rejoice in the Lord always. Pantos there, all the time, all the places. And again, I say rejoice, the staccato, rejoice, rejoice, the two rivets of the hammer there. If I'm to do that, if I'm to be bookended in rejoicing and joy, man, I got to know what that is. Because it can't be an emotion. Can't be an emotion. If it's an emotion, I'm stuck because my emotions change. And my emotions are fallible. And my emotions are all over the place. When I was sick and taking treatment and all, I never forget, man, there was a point in time where everything just made me really, really emotional. Really, really emotional. I mean, like, no more Disney cartoons. Because when the little princess got her legs back, I was toast. And I'm a grown man, and I'm sitting there weeping going, I know what's about to happen, but it's okay. And the family sitting there debating, if we video Dad right now, we'll never be in trouble again. Because we can blackmail him, but hopefully Andrea, got all those videos. And when I kind of got out of that, my emotions kind of normalized a little bit. I can't trust my emotions. It can't be an emotional thing, even though it sounds. So what does it mean? I give you a couple of different definitions here, and we've got these, and I'll post them later as well. Same writer, different time period. And I do this just to illustrate. I've given, by my count, about 6 definitions of joy. None of them are wrong. But I'm basically just continue to turn the diamond a little bit. You still with me? Say amen. Joy is a deep down confidence that God is in control of everything for the believers. If you're making notes, circle, underline, highlight that. Joy is not that everything for everybody works out well. That's not what the command is. That's not what the promise is. The way of the transgressor is hard. Revelation, he will turn all those into hell. This is not a universal promise for all of mankind. You can have joy as a Christ follower. You can have joy as a believer. And how many folks want to cherry pick? I want to take this, and I want to take that, and I want to take the other. I want to take the needle, but I don't want to take the medicine that's in the needle. I wouldn't mind buying a bottle of Tylenol, but I'm not going to open them and take the Tylenol for my headache here. It doesn't work that way. Joy is a deep down confidence. God is in control of everything for the believer's good and his own glory, and that all is well no matter what the circumstances. Whatever the storm around me is, the fixation of God's Spirit in me is controlling and centering and foundational. I can have joy in the storm, in that sense. I can have joy when things are going sideways. Again, at the moment, I got a get out of jail free card here. Because everybody goes, well, you just don't know. I don't know. But I think I got at least a little bit of skin in some of this. I think I can speak with a hair of authority that God will take care of you in some rough days. And God will is better to you than any of us deserve on our best days. And it'll be okay. If He has saved you from your sins, you can have joy no matter what is going on. And you have a well fountain of that in reserve here. You say, preacher, does that mean? I'm going to get to that. Give me a second. So joy is this. Secondly, joy, and again, same author here, different, about 30 years apart. I just use this for reference. Joy is the idea of happiness, based on unchanging divine promises and eternal spiritual realities. It's a sense of well-being experienced by one who knows all is well between oneself and the Lord. You can have joy knowing there's nothing between you and the Savior. You can have joy based upon what the Bible has said about God. In other words, joy then comes from knowing God. Joy comes from the Lord. Now, I want to say, phew, because I'm just not that person. I know people just smile all the time and everything's rosy. I know people are like, oh, I got a poopy diaper to change. I'm like, you're crazy. I was praying hard. Kids get old enough to do that. Quit doing that. I can't. This is awful. Well, look at all those things. Well, at least we had something to eat, and now I got this pile of stuff to do. Thank God for all this laundry. It means that we had the blessing of wearing the clothes today. I appreciate the way that you think. That's not always the way that I think. I'm thinking, we just set it all on fire and start over. It'd be easier. Anybody ever think that way? Amen. Our son's been driving my car, and he's been driving around, and I'm certain arson has crossed his mind, vehicular arson, several times. And one of his buddies came up and he said, Mr. Rodney, I got to know, what's the deal with the spoons in the car? And I said, with the tensile strength. They're trying to hold the dash from flying off. He said, okay, well, that makes some sense. He said, why spoons? I said, because I couldn't get the rivets to work. Anyway, ask a dumb question, get a crazy answer, right? And so we're here. So when we're talking about this, then this is where we go. See, preacher, I'm with you. Not an emotion. We should talk about it like an emotion. But how do I do this? How in the world am I supposed to rejoice? I got more month left than money. I got problems. Truth of the matter is, you listed those songs a minute ago, and I feel bad just hearing the song. My life is not simple. I make bad choices. How am I supposed to rejoice? I'm single. I want to be married. I'm married. Kind of wish I was. Don't finish that thought. I'm employed. I wish I was like the other. I was talking to a business owner the other day, said as soon as they got the last stimulus check, he lost so much of his workforce because they were like, I can live forever on $1,400. Well, there's two things wrong with that, not the least of which is a math problem, amen? And, you need a job. You need a job for lots of reasons, but you need to work. You work. How am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to do the other? Let me walk you through it. You're back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. He starts off there, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. First off, it's command. Keep rejoicing. It's a habitual idea. Continue the practice of rejoicing. Only on television are people savants when it comes to music. Most everybody else got to practice, right? Play the violin, bang out the notes on the piano, blare out the trumpet. You can hack it, you can work through some things, but there's nothing about it. Till you get calluses on your fingers, you're going to have a hard time with a stringed instrument. There is rejoicing. It is a command. You are to be practicing this. This was to be the characteristic of your life. Say, I know so-and-so. I never saw them and they weren't wearing a ball cap. That was the habit or practice of their life. Some of you, man, you got a catchphrase. How are you doing? You'll say something. And they call Dave Ramsey's show, the guy on the radio. And then somebody say, how are you, Dave? And he says, better than I deserve. And that's what something he's been known for. I'm surprised he hadn't tried to trademark it, make a little money off of it. We know how that is. Some of you catch a smell from somewhere, and you're in your grandmother's house again. You catch a wind of something. We were talking Wednesday night after service about a pipe, some pipe, tobacco and all, and reminded them of a grandfather and the days gone by and apple pie and stuff like that. When we're doing this, it's just to be as regular as brushing your teeth and making your bed. This is to be something we are to be enjoined in doing. It's a command. You say, all right, preacher, but it still sounds like the Bible's telling me how to feel. Wait for it. It's a command, but there's some qualifiers. There's some qualifiers. Not loopholes, but some qualifiers. Let's make a couple of acknowledgments here. It's hard to rejoice because of the wickedness of the world. Somebody say amen. It's hard to watch the news and read the paper. It's hard to be online. It's hard to talk to folks and see some things. It's hard. When I'm working here out of the office and all, there's dispatches. The Hardin Valley fire's up there. The ambulance dispatches down here. And all day long, you hear folks rolling out. You think somebody is having an awful day. There's wickedness in the world. Anybody here ever experienced the wickedness in the world? You ever seen it, sensed it? You go, man. There's wickedness. There's the problem of people. There's the problem of people. I love the little story. Girl comes home, runs in from school, drops her bag, goes up the stairs to her room, slams the door. Mom says, what in the world's the matter? Knocks kindly on the door, peeks in. Says, honey, what's the matter? And she threw her tears, says, people. Anybody ever felt like her? People. You ever been lied to, lied about? Ever been deceived, tricked, betrayed? I remember the first time I counseled somebody who found out her spouse was cheating on her, and she saw the pictures on social media. Coward didn't have enough scruples to tell her in person. She accidentally saw it. That's only to be seconded by the time when somebody who was a friend with the adulterer found it and sent them to her. And now it's on like Donkey Kong. Lawyers are hiring social media strategists by the bounds because of divorce proceedings. And this is the ammunition that's there. People are joy killers on occasion. There's the wickedness of the world, the wickedness of people, and just normal sorrow. Paul talks about, by the way, grieving through some of this. I'm not talking about grief. I'm not saying, man, you can't experience grief. I'm talking about joy in your grief. I'm not talking about you don't experience sorrow. I'm talking about joy in your sorrow. I'm not talking about sadness. We ate the last popsicle last night at our house. And it was an ugly fight. And I'm not talking about that kind of sadness. Years ago, we got snowed in. Things were tight. Allison was young. We got snowed in when they came and plowed the road. They plowed the road and pushed the snow up so high we couldn't get over it. We just moved into this place. We didn't own any kind of tools or implements. Didn't have a shovel. Couldn't dig our way out. We were at the last few diapers. We were out of formula. We were having nothing to feed the baby. Power was out. Phone lines were down, and we were snowed in. Phone came back up. We were trying to dig out of ever how many feet of snow with a popcorn bowl. And I wasn't worried about the snow. I was worried about the fact that I was a husband and a father, and my youngin' was in there going hungry. because I didn't have the sense to buy a $15 shovel. Sadness, sorrow, people, wickedness, death, disease. They can't be my sources of joy. And on occasion, they can be joy killers if I'm not careful. So then the only way I can go to it is God. Look at it again. If you still got your Bibles out, underline that phrase, in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. We all have problems, not a few. We all have opportunities. We all have disappointments. We all have regret. So what has got to be the constant source of things? It's got to be the Lord Himself. If He just says rejoice without putting that there, I'm stuck. Because I can't just rejoice in a vacuum or rejoice in general. It has to be my connection to the Lord. It has to be my connection to the Lord. So how do I do that? How do I do that? He says in the Lord, one of the things we've had our men read is in our groups, or several of them, we've read a book, Knowledge of the Holy, by a man named A.W. Tozer. If you've never read it, I would encourage you to do it. It's not a very difficult read, but Tozer in the preface says what he's become famous for out of all his little sayings and things. And he wrote this. He said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Your ability to rejoice is directly connected to what you know about the God of the Bible. Your ability to rejoice is directly connected to what you know about the God of the Bible. If you've got a little itty-bitty bucket, and that's all you've got in there, and there's no time in the Word, and there's no time in midweek service, there's no time in Bible study, there's no time in personal growth, there's no time that's there, I can guarantee you when you hear the command to rejoice, you're going, well, I got about 2 ounces, and that's all I'm going to be good for. But if you got a 500-gallon reservoir that's constantly replenished and is full and brimming over, and you're about to put another one in, let me help you a little better. You get tired of the gallons there, and you decide you're going to get a swimming pool full of the knowledge of God. All of a sudden, now you got something to draw out of. He says, you rejoice in the Lord. Tozer said, the history of mankind will show no people has ever risen above its religion. Man's spiritual history would demonstrate no religion has been greater than its idea of God. He concludes his introduction. Were we able to extract from any person a complete answer to the question, what comes into your mind when you think about God? We would predict with certainty the spiritual future of that man. Our problem is not we don't understand the difference in joy and emotion. We don't understand the difference in rejoicing as a habit like brushing our teeth or making our bed. Our problem is we have very little to draw from about who God is. Watch it. He ends chapter 3 with one of the great. He starts with a hymn of Christ. He ends with some of the greatest teaching about Christ. Chapter 2, par excellence, the mind of Christ, the servant who came, who humbled himself. Chapter 4, verse 1, he reminds him, you're my joy and rejoicing, my crown. He tells him to be of the same mind. He handles people problems. Chapter 4, verse number 3, he comes right behind that with, you rejoice not because those women are getting their act together or because they don't get their act together. You rejoice in the Lord because of who He is and your relationship to Him. He follows it up with how you're to act around lost people. Let your moderation be known to all men. Verse 6. But if you've got worry, if you're anxious, if you see the enemies, and you hear the footsteps, and you're nervous about persecution, or maybe your life hadn't turned out the way you want to, I'm going to tell you how to worry about nothing. And I'm going to give you one of the great texts on talking to God about what bothers you. And I'm going to give you a master's class in prayer. Not thoughts and prayers, not prayer and good wishes, not love and prayers, Not some silly Hallmark tagline. I'm going to tell you how to pray and give your burdens to God. And then while we're on that subject, verse 8, I'm going to help you with your thought life. I'm going to help you focus on the things that honor Him and bring you peace. So when He says rejoice here, He's not throwing you in the deep end of the pool and telling you good luck. He's saying rejoice in the Lord. Let me rat-a-tat, give you a few ideas how you can do that constantly. I can do that. Number one, you learn about the God of the Bible by learning the Bible. You learn about the God of the Bible by learning the Bible. I'm all about sitting around the barbershop, beauty parlor, and discussing things. I think that's fine. Dialogue is a marvelous thing. I think the internet's a terrible place for that. Apparently, nobody knows how to do that anymore. But the best place to learn about the God of the Bible is the Bible. Somebody say amen. And if you're not in the Bible and the Bible's not getting in you, then you don't know what you want to know and what you ought to know. And learn about Him. It's not what somebody else said. What does the Bible say? That's one of the reasons we were learning Psalm 1 rather, and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scorn of verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Let me ask you, I can tell you how you're doing rejoicing by how you did in the Word last week. You can't pour from an empty cup. You can't think about what you hadn't read. Our rejoicing problem, we need to learn about God. He is worthy. He is almighty. He is everywhere present. He is altogether lovely. His mercies are new every morning. My pastor for years and years said when he would get stuck, he'd start in the A's and work his way to the Z's, thinking about who God is and how He's revealed Himself in the Scripture. He said if he still felt bad, he'd start back over at A again until he felt better. I like that kind of thinking. Amen. Learn more about the Lord by learning the Bible. Secondly, singing. Paul is going to say singing yourself psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. He mentioned singing here already in part of that rejoicing and singing. If all you ever listen to is woe is me and I am undone, I got news for you. That's not going to help. Say, I don't want to sing in front of people. Well, get in your car and crank the windows up and let it go. Say, somebody will take a picture of me. Well, there's worse things to be taking a picture of, amen? I was riding around in Riley's car yesterday, little problem trying to see if I could hear which tire it was coming out of. And I was wrong, and he had it on his station there, one of the local Christian stations. And I listened about a half hour, and they didn't say God, Jesus, the Bible, or nothing. Finally, different whoever DJ came on, they actually played a song talked about Jesus. I said, man, I listened to this quote-unquote Christian station for 30 minutes, and they never said Jesus, never said the cross, never said heaven. They just talked about you can't beat me, I'm going to get back up now. Well, that's just motivational thinking. That's the last 5 minutes of a Rocky movie. What's it doing on a Christian station? I know I'm old and I'm bald, but I got eyebrows. And I'm telling you, you need to sing to the God of the Bible, and you need to sing about the God of the Bible. Dr. Morgan, longtime pastor of church there in Nashville, travels now, especially since his wife passed. He said, I was eager and enthusiastic to bring new music into our church. He said, the last 15 years, I've realized with all the new music we brought in, we jettisoned the Christological hymns of the faith. Part of my mission to write and to speak is to say that no matter what style or type of your church, you must again return to the hymns of the faith and find and plant your feet in that good soil of honoring and exalting Christ. I worry we listen to stuff we can dance to, we can whistle to and hymn to, but nothing that brings us joy because it points to and exalts Christ. And we are missing out. Sing to and about the God of the Bible. learn the verses. Look for Christ in our devotional time and read. Remember past blessings. Remember past blessings. When they did this, Exodus chapter 18, Moses' father-in-law rejoiced over all the goodness. The feast of Israel, typically, we're trying to remind them of what God has done. Most of us lament that the most neglected, but perhaps most beautiful, one of the more beautiful holidays we have is Thanksgiving. But it's become a speed bump on the way to shopping. You want some joy? Start thinking about the blessings of God. Start thinking about answered prayer in your life. Start thinking about what He has done and is doing. And rehearse that, and you will feel the wellspring of joy in your life. Remember what it was like to be saved from your sin. I think some of us have been Christ followers too long. We don't remember what it was like to pillow our head and wonder, man, if I die in my sleep, I will wake up in an awful, terrible hell. A friend of mine sent me a conversation. A guy went on the attack against his dad. His father was a pastor of a church in Eastern North Carolina. He said, I remember as a young boy going to church, and a guy stood up there and talked about a devil's hell to shun and a wonderful heaven to gain. And I went home as a young boy, scared to death, and said, I'd never go to another church. And here I am, a man in my 60s, and I've never been in any kind of church like that since. And I raised my kid. They never heard a message like that. The pastor's son caught it and knew exactly what the guy was doing because he'd kind of called him out. He said, well, my experience was different. He said, I was 5 years old as a young boy, and I went to that same church, and I heard that preacher, who happened to be his father, preach about the consequences of sin and the beautiful Jesus who died on the cross and that He died for all the wicked things I do. And even though I didn't have much to confess as a five-year-old, I went home that night. Instead of being mad and slamming the door, I went and found my father. He opened his Bible and he told me how I could know my sins are forgiven. So, sir, I respectfully disagree. I have great memories of what God did when He saved me from my sin. Somebody say amen. Remember the work of salvation. What was it like? By the way, that's in the Lord. If you're here, if you're listening, and that's not true yet, it can be true today. All things are passed away. All things are becoming new. God wants to change your life and offer you joy. Finally, remember, rehearse the promises of God. Someone suggested glibly, there are 365 promises in the Bible. They got to look and figured out there's closer to 1,000. You can find the promises of God. You can buy the Word a Day calendar. You can get them emailed to you. And remember what God has promised you. You're there in Philippians 4. Just look a few verses down. You still with me? I got about 2 minutes. Are you still with me? Say amen. Go look all the way down. Excuse me. Go to verse 11. Not that I speak in respect to want, I've learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to abound, how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed, verse 12, both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. God has promised to provide all of your needs in the Lord. Someone suggested God rarely early, never late. Always exactly what we need. The promises of God. Rehearse the promises of God. And then there's that last one. I'm done. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. See, where do you get that, preacher? Paul rejoiced. 1 Timothy chapter 1, he has put me into his service. Chapter 1, verse 21 of Philippians, he says what? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. By the way, I left it out just for time's sake, and we've elaborated on a couple of messages. But he talks about suffering in context of joy as well. I can go through hard things because Jesus strengthens me. He's rejoicing. Anybody have a friend? Anybody know somebody who is not as polite as you are? Anybody know anybody like some of you? Nope, I'm that friend. Anybody know anybody like that? I got a friend. He's a cross between an engineer and an auctioneer. He called me the other day checking in. He was saying something, and I said, I don't understand. He said, well, let me. He said, I know you're not real bright, Rodney. It's always going to be good if somebody says that to you. Everybody know that, right? If somebody attacks your intelligence before they say something, it's whatever is going to be said is good. So I know you're not real bright. And I went, oh, okay. He said, you know what some people's problem is? I said, no, but you're going to tell me. He said, they need to push away from the buffet table and get to work for the Lord. They're so busy sitting on their backside being critical. If they get in there and get their hands dirty, they'd feel a lot better. Now, I don't think I'd exactly say that everyone is overfed. And I'm not real certain how I feel about saying get off your backside from the pulpit, although I've said it twice now apparently. You want to start practicing some rejoicing? Find somewhere to serve. Get involved. If all you ever do is wait for the next plate of goodies to come, you're going to get upset when they're not on time, when they don't taste as good as they did before. Man, when you got some skin in the game, everything's different. Now, let me help you. When you're serving the Lord, some of the happiest people around Easter Saturday were out here in the hot sun for 2.5 hours. Some of the happiest people I know serve in junior church and serve on the stage and serve in the booth and serve throughout the week and serve in the treasury. I can do something for Jesus. Is there anybody any happier than Brittany when you walk in and she smiles at you and gives you a bulletin? I'm telling you, you're missing out on serving the Lord. And Paul says, me to live is Christ. Die is gain. I can rejoice. They preach what I do about all this other, we're going to get it next time. But you got to start there in the Lord. I'm having a hard time rejoicing. Look at me. You got a little thimble. You got a little 2-ounce sippy cup. You got a 20-ounce growler. You got a big thermos. You got a 5-gallon cooler. You got a kiddie swimming pool. You got a 500-gallon tank. Where you at? What are you drawing out of? When's the last time you opened His Word, looked to learn something about Him, and then turned around and said, God, thank you for that. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing. See, that's the only way you can rejoice. How much do you know about God? How much of you is in the Word? And how much of the Word is in you? Would you pray with me right now? Father, Lord, thank you. Lord, there are many messages here.